Good morning. Welcome to all of those gathered here this morning for worship. A special welcome to any visitors that we have in our midst, and welcome as well to those who are watching online, either now or later in the day or in the week. Whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, or wherever you're watching, know that you are very welcome here today. So let us worship God. We sing together hymn 172, Sing for God's Glory, the color that colors the dawn of creation. Hymn 172. Our call to prayer this morning comes from the words of Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. Let us pray. Holy and ever-living God, you are the one who has created all things, and from the beginning and even unto now, your Spirit is present and alive in and through all your good creation. We give you thanks for waking this world today with your gift of life, for feeding and sustaining all living things, all things that reflect your creative presence in this world. And we give you thanks for waking us this morning and giving us each the strength to gather together here in this special place. For as we gather, we are all aware of your Spirit present in and through us, And we are mindful of your promise that wherever two or three are gathered, you are there among us. So this morning, through our worship, through our fellowship, and in our prayers, we ask that you would continue to build in us an awareness of your presence and an ever deeper gratitude for your gift of life. For we confess together that we often fall short of who you have created and freed us to be. Seeing only what we think is missing in our lives, we fail to acknowledge your gracious presence as it surrounds and fills us. Holding on to temporary things for so-called comfort, we often fail to live with open hands that receive your generosity and share openly the gifts that we receive. Propping up the broken systems of this world out of apathy or out of convenience, we often fail to live and act boldly in your promise of abundant life for all people and all creation. Following the broken paths that the world lays before us, we too often struggle to live into the hope that comes in following you, who are the way, the truth, and the life. Gracious God, in all these things and in so many more, give us ears to hear and hearts to know your promise of forgiveness. For you go to prepare a place for us. And that place is secured not by what we have done or by what we have left undone, but our place in your presence is made certain because of who you are and what you have done. Lord, on the cross, you assured us of your love, and in the resurrection, you broke the power of sin and death. So enable us to hear your words of promise and help us to receive your forgiveness so that we might live into the joy and hope of your presence, living and sharing your love with all people. And now, Lord, hear our words as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, just a few intimations this morning. Again, welcome to everyone here. There will be a further time of fellowship here in the sanctuary following the service where tea, coffee, and biscuits will be served. So you are warmly invited to stick around and join us for those. Also, the 275th anniversary celebrations for this congregation will take place on the 12th and 13th of September. I know that's a few months off, but in order to plan for those celebrations, there will be a meeting on Tuesday at 2 p.m. in the McMichael Chapel right out here off of the vestibule. Everyone is welcome to attend, so if you would like to be a part of planning this special celebration, we would love to have you there as part of that committee. There will be a Kaylee this Saturday in the parish halls from 7 to 10 p.m. Tickets can still be purchased, I believe, from Callan Wind. You can find his phone number and email in the order of service, or you can find him right over there. He's probably easier to find than the email. It's a wonderful evening with a great band involved in there. As I said, there's still some tickets left, so if you're on the fence whether or not to go or not, maybe you don't know if you can dance, or just get off the fence, buy some tickets, and come to the Kaylee. And also, I've been told if you have bought a ticket but have not paid yet, it would be very helpful, Callum says, if you could pay him for that ticket so that he can then pay the band. I think they appreciate that when they get paid for coming. And I will admit I'm in that category, so I'll find Callum after the service. Next Sunday will be a joyous occasion of celebrating the sacrament of baptism, so please hold the family in your prayers as they prepare for that joyous occasion, and we hope many of you can be here on Sunday as well as we support them in the celebration of that sacrament together. Next, articles for the summer edition, if you can believe it, the summer edition of The Parishioner should be submitted by Sunday the 17th of May, and those submissions can be emailed to the email that's in your order of service or left in the McMichael Chapel. And also out in the vestibule, finally, the Bible reading rota for May and June is displayed, so if you would like to read, please sign up there and put your name down. And also, we're looking for more volunteers to help serve the tea and coffee and biscuits, all those things we enjoy after the service. So if you're willing and able to do that, you can also put your name down on the rota in the vestibule. And I believe that's all I have, so on to you, Gary.
One, two, could just go up a wee bit. Thank you, that's better, perfect. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. This morning, I would like to tell you a story about a miraculous ring. A ring like this one that I spent hours making yesterday morning. Isn't it beautiful? On you go, just say yes. It's lovely, and it's bright, and it's colourful. So this ring that I want to talk to you about was like this, only better. It was miraculous. It had great powers, and it belonged to this one family, and it passed down through the generations to the firstborn son. And the son who wore this ring was given the most amazing qualities: love and kindness and the ability to tell the truth and to care. So it was a very special, miraculous ring. And everything went smoothly for a long time. But then this father had three sons. And he thought, there could be a problem. If the firstborn inherits the ring, the other two could become, what's the word?
Jealous.
And jealousy is not a good thing. It can lead to trouble. So the father decided to go to a jeweler, and he had two identical rings made. Wasn't that a good idea? And it meant that when he died, each of the three sons got a ring. And everything was okay for a while, and then one of them said, which one of us has got the real ring? Well, that was indeed a question. So they decided to go to a jeweler. And the jeweler, you know, they've got these special means of identifying rings, and they're looking. This jeweler was looking at the ring and checking it, and he looked at the other two, and he says, I'm sorry, I cannot tell any difference between these three rings. Well, the three sons decided to go to an old teacher, a wise, wise man. And they explained the situation, and he looked at the rings and he says, well, I can't tell the difference, but remind me what is so special about the miraculous ring. And they said, well, whoever wears it becomes loving and kind and caring and truthful. And the old teacher said, why don't each one of you become loving and kind and caring and truthful? And then it won't matter who has the miraculous ring. And that is what they did. Each one of the brothers decided to be loving and kind and caring and to tell the truth. And because of that, each ring became miraculous. They decided to live their lives a certain way. And they changed, not because of a miraculous ring, but because of their decision to live their lives in a way that was right. One day, Jesus said to the disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, he wasn't boasting. He was giving an invitation. He was saying, "Come, follow me, learn from me, be like me." That invitation he gave to the disciples, and that invitation he issues to you and to me and to all boys and girls and men and women today. And you know, the wonderful thing is, we don't need a miraculous ring to follow Jesus. We have something far better. We have Jesus himself and his promise to be with us and to help us be loving and kind, caring and truthful. And that is the real miracle. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we're going to sing a lovely, lovely hymn to that beautiful Lewis folk melody. And it is the hymn 510. Now, it's interesting, the Jewish Lewis folk melody. I was watching one night last week a program on YouTube about the revivals that took place on the island of Lewis. And one of them was in 1949. And two old ladies are credited with playing a very important part in that revival. They prayed. And here's a quote. I shared it with Jake in the vestry before the service, and I hope I can remember it now. If not, he'll be able to tell us it. These two old ladies could hardly leave their home, but through prayer, they had access to the throne room of heaven. Isn't that marvelous? And they prayed and prayed and they kept praying, and a certain minister and evangelist was sent to the island, and a great revival took place. There is wonderful power in prayer. And that is why we never, as Christian people, become despondent or discouraged. Jesus calls us here to meet him. 510 verses 1 to 3. We'll miss out verse 4.
Jesus, come as he is, and we live. first reading this morning is 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 2 to 10, on page 207. Now that's very near the back of the Bible, page 207. Like the newborn infants you are, you should be craving for pure spiritual milk so that you may thrive on it and be saved. For surely you have tasted that the Lord is good. So come to him, to the living stone, which was rejected by men, but chosen by God and of great worth to him. You also, as living stones, must be built up into a spiritual temple and form a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For you will find in Scripture, I am laying in Zion a chosen cornerstone of great worth. Whoever has faith in it will not be put to shame. So for you who have faith, it has great worth. But for those who have no faith, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone to trip over, a rock to stumble against. They trip because they refuse to believe the word. This is the fate appointed for them. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, a people claimed by God for his own, to proclaim the glorious deeds of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were outside his mercy, but now you are outside no longer. The second reading is from a well-kent John 14. You'll get a wee smidgen of King James here. The verses are 1 to 14. That's John 14, verses 1 to 14 on page 93. Again, towards the end of the Bible. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, then believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to myself, so that you know where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way I'm taking. Thomas said, Lord, we know not where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If you knew me, you would know my Father too. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, we ask no more. Jesus answered, Have I been all this time with you, Philip, and still you do not know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? I am not myself the source of the words I speak. It is the Father who dwells in me, doing his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else accept the evidence of the deeds themselves. In very truth, I tell you, whoever has faith in me will do what I am doing. Indeed, he'll do greater things still, because I am going to the Father. Anything you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Thank you.
We sing together hymn 251, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Have you ever had one of those mornings when nothing seems to go right? The toast burns. The car won't start. You miss an important phone call. And then someone appears, smiling brightly and saying, "Isn't life wonderful?" At moments like that, we might be tempted to reply, "Are you having a laugh?" Or, "Get real." Do not let your hearts be troubled. Wonderful, wonderful words. Words spoken by our Lord at a time when the disciples felt life was anything but wonderful. Let me explain. Judas had gone out into the night. The stench of betrayal and denial was in the air. And to crown it all, Jesus had just told them that soon he would leave them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. One can almost imagine the disciples thinking, "Are you having a laugh, Jesus? Get real, Jesus." Now, it's important to note that in saying what he did, Jesus was not for one moment denying the reality of fear or sorrow. He did not say to the disciples, "You have nothing to be troubled about." That would be nonsense. The Christian faith is never, ever about pretending that this life is easy. And Jesus did not pretend either. He knew that the cross lay ahead. He knew that these very disciples would themselves experience sorrow and fear in abundance. And so in this most special conversation, Jesus gives the disciples and us three things to hold on to as we journey through life. Three things which might just keep our hearts from being troubled. The first thing to hold on to is this: there is a home. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Or, as the old translation puts it, many mansions. I still prefer that wording, perhaps because dwelling places sound slightly like a budget hotel chain. Many mansions. Of course, Jesus is speaking in one sense about eternal life, and for the Christian, that is wonderful beyond words. But I also think that Jesus is speaking about something else. He's speaking about having a home. He's speaking about belonging. The increase in attacks on Jewish people in our society is abhorrent, to say the least. And the consequences of what is happening was all too apparent in an interview a Jewish man gave on Friday. He said that he and his wife had lived all their lives in Britain, but now they were leaving. They were leaving. Why? Because they no longer felt Britain was where they belonged. It no longer felt like home. Isn't that awful? We pray today for the Jewish people. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many mansions. There is here not reluctant tolerance, not a waiting list, not wait and we'll see if there's a space. There is for you, whoever you are, a home. There is for you, whoever you are, a place to belong. The Church of Scotland, like many denominations, can sometimes fret about buildings, budgets, numbers. Understandable concerns, of course, and no doubt we will hear about some of those concerns at the forthcoming General Assembly. Jake, you're in for a treat.
But the church's first calling is not preserving an institution. It is proclaiming that through Christ there is a home for humanity in the heart of God, a place where all can belong. I think there's just a wee problem. We'll see. One, two.
You wonder what ministers did before they had these microphones. Now, will I start at the beginning? Just to recap, the church's first calling is not preserving an institution. It is proclaiming that through Christ there is a home for humanity in the heart of God, a place where all can belong. Now, the second thing that Jesus gave the disciples to hold on to, and therefore us, is this. Not only is there a home, there is a way. Thomas says, Lord, we do not where you are going, how can we know the way? Thomas is wonderfully honest. He asked the question the others were probably thinking. And you remember how Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I sympathize deeply with Thomas. I have very little sense of direction.
I once drove to an induction in East Lothian. I think I'll be back to that lecture in my mind.
took this one off just in case. Yes, I sympathise with Thomas because I have little sense of direction. I once drove to an induction in East Lothian and somehow managed to go through Musselburgh twice. To this day, I don't know how I managed to do that. And the worst part was having a passenger sitting next to me. And you know that sort of silence that says, I'm saying nothing but. But notice what Jesus does not do. He does not hand the disciples a map. He does not give them detailed instructions. He doesn't tell them, in modern parlance, to download an app. He gives them himself. My friends, the Christian faith is not simply following a set of ideas. It is something far greater. It is walking with Christ. There's a story of a man walking along a cliff path in a storm, carrying a lantern. He complained that the lantern showed only a few feet ahead. An older traveller replied, "That's all you need. Take the step. You can see." That's often how faith works. Not certainty about the whole journey, but trust for the next step. And that step we can take with confidence because we have Christ as our companion on the way. We have a home, a place to belong. We have a way. Jesus said, "I am the way." And then thirdly, there is a promise. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do." Isn't that an astonishing promise? Remember, these disciples were anxious. They were confused. Before long, most of them would run away. And yet Jesus says, God will still work through them and through us. Which brings us to Peter's image of the church as living stones. Now, stones are many things, a variety of shapes, decorative, painful if stepped on barefoot, but they're also useful. I recall looking at an old stone dike with a farmer friend, and he said, "Gary, every stone has its place. It's just a case of finding it." And so it is within the church, the body of Christ. Peter says Christ takes ordinary people and builds them into something extraordinary. Not isolated pebbles scattered on a beach, but people joined together. And that matters. And that has to be proclaimed because we live in an age that celebrates radical individualism. My faith, my spirituality, my journey. Christianity has never, ever been a solo activity. Peter says, we are built together. I think one of the great temptations facing the Church of Scotland today is the temptation to be discouraged. We remember fuller pews, busier halls, and Sunday schools loud enough to register on the Richter scale. Yes, things have changed. We must be honest about that. But Peter does not say the church is built on numbers. He does not say the church is built on prestige. He does not say the church is built on cultural influence. He says it is built on Christ, the cornerstone. And my dear people, it is the cornerstone that determines the shape of the building, not nostalgia, not public opinion, not whatever happens to be fashionable at any given time. It is Christ. Peter says something truly amazing to those early Christians who were scattered and afraid. Here again, can you imagine how they felt when they received these words? Frightened, scattered, yet hear this. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Through God's mercy and goodness, they have been elevated to the highest rank possible. The world may have seen them as weak or insignificant, but God said, you are mine. And then, in closing, Peter tells us why all this matters. You have been called so that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a story of a church in France that was damaged during the Second World War. A statue of Christ survived, but its hands were destroyed. The congregation considered replacing them, but then they decided to leave the statue as it was, and they placed a plaque beneath it saying, Christ has no hands on earth but ours. That is the church's calling. Not merely survival, but witness. Not merely maintaining buildings, but shining light. Not merely remembering the gospel, but proclaiming it. We are the living stones. We are the visible witnesses. We are the hands through which Christ still welcomes, heals, serves, and loves. So perhaps today, Christ speaks to us. To troubled hearts, trust me. And to hesitant churches, keep building. Because Easter means the risen Christ is still at work, still calling people out of darkness into light, still preparing room in the Father's house, still guiding uncertain travellers, still building ordinary people into a community of hope where all have a home and belong. Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing the hymn 642, 642, ye that know the Lord is gracious.
During our prayers, each petition will conclude with the words, Merciful God, to which I ask you to respond, receive our prayer. Again, Merciful God, receive our prayer. Let us pray. God of glory, we thank you that you have built your church on Christ, the cornerstone. And in your goodness, you build us into a spiritual house, living stones, the body of Christ. Inspire us to walk the way of Christ, sharing your forgiveness, hope, and steadfast love with all whom we encounter. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God of creation, we give you thanks for all that you have made, for plants and animals, seas and skies, mountains and glens. As we see your beauty and grace through your creation, we ask that you would protect this world from the dangers of climate change. Give us the wisdom to curb our own wasteful habits and make us one voice, make us your hands to advocate for policies that care for your good creation. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God of wisdom, you intend for the governments of this world to be instruments of your peace and justice. As we approach a day of elections here in Scotland and throughout the United Kingdom, we ask that you would grant us the wisdom and courage to choose candidates who will care for your people and govern with care and generosity. We pray as well for those individuals who will be elected. Give them the strength to be people of integrity and compassion, who courageously use their position to seek the good of all people. Merciful God. God of wholeness, in this good world, many still suffer. We ask that you would hear the concerns that weigh deeply on our hearts. Soothe those in distress. Console all who grieve. Provide for any who are in need and comfort those who are sick, whether in mind or body or spirit. Lord, strengthen healthcare workers and instill caregivers with a sense of purpose to be your healing hands in this world. Merciful God. God of eternity, you go to prepare a place for each of us and a place for all of us, so that we might always live as one in your presence. We remember with gratitude all those who have walked with us in this life and who have now taken their place with you. As we remember these dear ones, may their example give us the courage to live faithfully until we also are gathered into one in your presence. Merciful God. God of resurrection and hope, we lift all these prayers to you, trusting that you will use us and these prayers to proclaim the good news of new life and new creation to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, hymn 512, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done, hymn 512.
Thank you.
As you go walking on the way that is Christ, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of that same God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you now and always.